This is fun! The FU Network.
For he's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow. Let's all say on the bus.
Hello and welcome to Mensplaining. I'm Stephen Kersner. And today we're going to talk about an interesting topic. And I'm very curious to see where this goes, because I think it will twist and turn, because the meaning of our topic, I think, means different things to different people. The topic today is vice. And if I look at vocabulary.com, it says a vice is a moral failing or a bad habit. Traditional examples of vice include drinking alcohol, smoking tobacco, and gambling in card games.
All the best things on earth.
Yeah, and just to be sure, this topic has nothing to do with the magazine, website, or television channel that that is called Vice and takes itself far too seriously. So, all right, today we've got, and this is going to be like an all-star panel. We've got, of course, Hafiz Narani, our producer, digital consultant and analyst from Vancouver. Hello, Hafiz.
Hello, hello. How are you guys?
And Paul Doroshenko, leading criminal lawyer on the West Coast.
Hello, nice to speak to everybody. Sorry, I'm interrupting. It's always too long of an introduction for me. It always makes me blush.
It's blushing. I was going to say, like in court, when the other people are talking, you just interrupt. You say, I'm sorry, they're taking too long.
There's times I do that.
Yeah, okay. We've got, of course, Aaron Seal.
Hello, gentlemen.
Entrepreneur and political activist, the conservative, small c conservative end of the spectrum, who recently had the courage to try to put his name in to run for the leadership of that party. But I think that you're judged by the company you keep, and I think it's better that you're not actually involved in all of that, Aaron, right now.
Well, as our listeners will hear, I would have been arguably the worst candidate in political history because I have everything. But the beauty of it is, in Simpson style, it all comes together and it's all totally innocuous in the end.
Okay. I don't even know what that means, but I'm sure that some people do. okay. Andy Willis.
Hello.
Host of Andyland Radio. Is it on CIVR? Is that, do I have that right?
I'm not even going to go there.
Okay, yeah, Andyland Radio. You can find him on andylandradio.com. How about that?
Beautiful.
Okay, we'll go there. Jeffrey Brown. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, I'm just a video game producer. So, was working at EA, now working at Microsoft.
Okay, and there's no such thing as just a video game producer. I mean, remember, you're talking to somebody whose wife spends 5 days a week talking about video games, working on video games, has studied the ins and outs. Right, what's that?
It's a good vice right now, actually.
Yeah, she was playing video games since the days of those arcades when her mother had to lift her up to play Pac-Man because she couldn't reach. So to me, there is no such thing as just a video game producer. Thank you for joining us. Okay, so the topic of vice is, first of all, it's an interesting one for me to be hosting because I don't have anything that could be traditionally referred to as a vice. I kept thinking about it, and I don't drink. I actually have some kind of alcohol intolerance, so that the minute I have a drink, like even on, and you know, you go out for your anniversary and the restaurant gives you champagne as a present, I don't want to be an ass, so I take like a sip or two, and it feels like somebody punched me in the stomach. Doesn't matter what kind of alcohol it is, it's the same. So no alcohol. Never had any interest in drugs. I like having my thoughts clear at all times. Gambling, no. Though I guess you could say that deciding at a young age to go into the Canadian entertainment business was probably a worse gamble than anybody could make on cards or the horses. It did work out, but even so, kind of a foolish thing. So maybe that's a vice, taking risks. But I don't, my only vice, if we're to talk, you know, talk about something you overindulge in that maybe you shouldn't, that isn't good for you, would be sugar. I happen to love sugary treats. The more sugary, the better. Like if I see, my wife would always blanch because I would see, oh, look, a new flavor of like bubble yum. It's a chocolate pink lemonade. I got to try that, you know, and I love sugary stuff. I don't like Skittles, but I like sugary stuff. And I guess that's my, but as I got older, I discovered my tolerance for sugar was, it's fine now, but there was a time when I would, if I'd have like I would rise and my blood sugar would spike and fall and I'd have to go to sleep. Now that's all better. But that's, I mean, that and is collecting like toys and stuff like that a vice? I don't.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know if
I got a list of 10 vices here. That,
all right, let's. What are you like the seven deadly sins of man? Is that what?
Yeah, these well, if Business Insider says these are 10 vices that you can actually feel good about. Number one,
these are vices you can feel good about.
Yes, that you shouldn't feel guilty about.
Oh, that's very different.
Well, 10 vices that are actually good for you is an actual title.
Okay. So. All right, go ahead. Let's hear them.
Number one is sleeping in.
Do you sleep in? No, I don't, but that's just because I don't. I wake up at the same time practically every
Number
day.
Two, I know you don't, which is smoking marijuana.
No.
Yeah. Snacking on candy?
Well, yeah, I already told you that one, so okay. I guess that's officially a vice. But why?
Biting your nails?
No.
Drinking alcohol, you don't?
No.
Going on vacation?
I haven't been on a vacation in about 12 years. Not a real one, anyway.
Okay, so no. Okay. Eating chocolate?
Very, very sparingly. Very sparingly.
Having lots of sex?
I've been married for 20 odd years. No.
Okay. Guzzling coffee?
No, I don't drink coffee.
Getting massage?
Oh, God, yeah.
That's a vice? It's only a vice if you get a happy ending. I mean, come on. When they tell you to roll over for towards the end, that's when it's the vice. I get massages only when I have problems like right now with my back or something, but it's not, it's, you know, when it's necessary, not when I'm like, I just got to go for a massage. I need some stranger's fingers on my skin.
Are there people that religiously go for massages? Like that's their thing. Like
that's a really weird.
Yes. I did for a while.
You did? For a while.
Yeah.
Did you need them, Paul, because of stress relief?
Well, I went originally because I had a car accident. This was a long time ago. And then I was going to a hair salon where they would give me like this head massage at the end. And every time it was so relaxing, I'd be thinking to myself, God, this is great. And the stylist said, well, go next door. There's a really good, place you can get a massage next door. I went next door. I got a nice massage. It wasn't creepy or weird or anything. It was just a nice massage. And then I found like it's right in my drive from my Richmond office to my downtown office. I could, instead of having lunch, basically I could swing by Wendy's after, have a 30-minute massage. It was quite relaxing and it was lovely. And I did this for about 8 months.
Pretty costly. I hope you have a health plan that covers that.
He's a little lawyer.
In the middle of the day, like it'd be like a couple times a week, middle of the day, and it would be $50. It wasn't.
Sorry, I got caught there. How much was it? $50, you said?
$50 for half an hour or something, or $40 for half an hour. There was a discount for midday.
Oh, okay.
And it was more happy expensive hour on special. Fridays. It was just slow time. Yeah.
Basically. Happy hour.
So that's why I was.
During an injury, especially, that's why I was doing it. Extremely helpful.
Well, yeah. It was, this was years after my injury. When I went for a massage to like a massage therapist after I was injured, I found often the massage left me feeling rougher than the injury because the masseuse was so brutal on me.
Oh, I had that last summer. I had a myofascial thing done for my neck and shoulder. I did something there. And I went to this woman who, her place, her whatever you call it, is like about 4 minutes from my house across from the neighborhood market. And I would be screaming. I swear she was like Torquemada. She was this torturous. And she wouldn't stop when I was like yelling. Because I'm like, no, that hurts. She would just keep going. She said, it has to happen. And I mean, she was right. I'd leave there feeling bruised, but after like three sessions, all of a sudden I had the mobility back.
Myofascials are the best massages.
No, they're very cruel and
painful. I fucking love it. I agree. But you know what? As someone that had one after an injury, it changed the feeling of it entirely, I find.
Okay, I don't want to know where the injury was. what are there any more on that list?
No, that was 10. That was 10.
Okay. So let's go through the list here. That's Aaron Seal. Aaron, when Hafiz was reading that list, did any pop out at you as being things that are vices that apparently you don't have to feel bad about?
Well, on Hafiz's list, I cover weed, alcohol, and sex. If you turn that into self-satisfaction, I am a single man and I don't apologize for that. But the one he was missing was gambling. And there I've got some stories to tell. I am banned from pretty much every casino in North America for card counting. And I also... Yes, I was very good at card counting.
What are you, Dustin Hoffman in Rain Man?
It's just a matter of seeing what cards come out of the shoe and remembering what they're worth. But
you know something,
yeah.
Though? I always thought that that was not fair, that it was that there's something wrong and that that's considered a no-no. Because if you're smart enough to be able to count the cards and keep track of that and stuff, why, like, it's not like the odds aren't weighted towards the house anyways. And it's not like you're using a device to cheat. You're using your brain.
You are 100% right, Stephen. And that's why most jurisdictions didn't make it illegal. Atlantic City did make it illegal to ban card, or there were jurisdictional differences. But since about the early 2010s, unless you've got a massive bankroll, the changes they've made to the way they play the game with the automatic shufflers that you have these days and some of the rule changes, it's very hard to do. And plus with biometric security, they'll catch you pretty quick. But you are 100% right. There is nothing illegal about the activity itself.
Yeah, you're just using your brain. It's like, we only want idiots in here. No, we don't want anyone who can think.
You're too smart.
Yeah, you're too smart. Leave. Jeff, what about you?
So actually, I used to drink and I used to smoke actually. So I have a story with the weed where I guess it was a mixture between like sports and just even the way that I would have weed, which would be smoking it in bongs and pipes. But it actually caused a mild to moderate hernia for myself. So it's actually during this.
How hard were you sucking in?
No, it's just the length of how long I was smoking and just my lifestyle choices for sports. I play a lot of pretty heavy extreme sports, skateboarding, snowboarding. So I'm stressing that abdominal area quite heavily. So
you don't think that those things had more to do with it than the bong as far as the hernia?
I think it's just a combination, but regardless, it was bad.
As someone
timing.
That just took a bong toke and has been for the last, I don't know how many years. Yeah, there's no hernia here.
Well, yeah, there's also no snowboarding or any other exercise there either.
Fucking nothing, none of that. No. Sports.
So if we're doing an empirical study here. If we're doing an empirical study here, you did a lot of exercising and bong hits and you got a hernia. Hafiz doesn't do exercising, does bong hits, and doesn't get a hernia. Therefore, empirically,
that much exercise.
Empirically, it's the exercise that probably did it. Anyway, sorry to interrupt. Go on.
Yeah, no worries. And also the hernia location where I get it. So men actually, like, by hereditary, like, they're more prone to actually getting one, where, like, I guess when you're developing as a male, your balls are within, like, your stomach and they descend. And if the tunnel afterwards doesn't close correctly, then you're just, like, more prone to, I guess, getting a potential hernia. So anyways, bad timing during this whole lockdown. I had to quit all my vices, which I thought was going to make me absolutely insane, but it's actually made me very, very productive and kind of learn some new things and try new hobbies and stuff that maybe I probably wasn't more inclined to do earlier, right?
Well, do you think that when this is all lifted, do you think that you will continue to engage in these new hobbies that you found satisfaction, or do you think that you'll just sort of find your way back to your old ways, or do you think it'll be a mix of both?
I think it'll be a mix of both. And like, I'm not going to smoke anymore. Even like cigarettes are done. It was a kind of an eye opener. I'm going to have like drops for marijuana, CBD and THC. Cause I find there's nothing wrong with that, but it's just the smoking itself and the coughing. Like if you're chronically coughing a lot, it's just not healthy.
Yeah. It doesn't look so good either.
Especially now.
Nobody wants to ride the bus with you.
Yeah, exactly. Sure.
Get on an airplane with you.
Yeah. Cough, cough, cough. Okay. I'm hesitant to even ask, but Andy Willis.
Well, actually, I had a question for Aaron Seale about that.
Popcorn.
Okay. No. Go on. Ask Aaron.
I'm really fascinated about this. I'm not a huge gambler. I've been into a casino twice, and both times it was because all my friends went. It was some sort of birthday party thing, and I just was like, okay, I'll do $20, and once it's done, it's done. It was gone in like 5 minutes. But Aaron,
yes.
I I went online and did an online blackjack thing through the BC Lottery Commission or whatever it is. And I'm like, couldn't people just sit at home and count cards from home if you're doing online, like, blackjack?
Well, the online set, the difference is, in order to card count, you need a fixed number of decks in the shoe. So if you go to a casino and you have 8 decks in the shoe, by the midpoint of the deck, you know what's happened in the first half of the show, so you can get a better idea of the second half. On the online stuff, it's a continuous rotation based on random numbers, what cards will come out, which is why you can't just sit at home and game the system. Yeah, otherwise people would just be getting rich.
Okay, good to know. So when it comes to vices, for me, the only vice I've ever had is smoking cigarettes, and I'm very happy to announce it's been 1 week and I'm cigarette-free.
We asked you to do that. We asked you to stop, so thank you, because it was affecting your health, man. Yeah,
it's all because, yeah, and I'm really stoked. I'm actually sucking on a lozenge right now for a lowest dose. And so, yeah, that's only been my vice, really. I don't drink. I'm not a big drinker. I know I've joked about it in the past, but it's for a laugh. I don't drink. I'm the type of person that cracks a beer or cracks a drink, and then I'll sit there and I won't take a sip. And then an hour later, I'll take a sip and then I'll just like put it down and then it's done. I can't do it. I don't like it. I got an instant hangover.
Why do you bother then?
Just to be social. It's
to be social. Like, and also, I don't want to be that person that drinks club soda at a party. You know what I mean? Because then you look kind of gay. So I'm just like, I don't want to do that. I'm just
Andy,
like, not into
it. You're 100% gay.
I know, but I don't want to be 110. No, I don't know.
Come on.
I wouldn't think that would make you look gay.
Yeah, you're going to look like a raging gay lord. Anyways, no, I kid. But no, I don't have any vices. I will say the massage thing hits home, because actually recently I have really bad, I carry a lot of tension. I'm a really tense person. Usually, like, I'm just always busy. I like to work. That's my vice, is I love working. I fucking love it. But I keep all this tension in my shoulders. So I used to go to this place called Golden Feet on Canby and Broadway. And the same thing, it's like $50, you know. Got this amazing 1 hour massage for $50 with tip included. And I used to go there every week or every other week, and I can't do it now. So I've actually been trying to find like anybody that would give me a massage and you know, I don't know.
I don't think you should just say anybody. I'm here to give you your massage.
Well, hey, sounds
this
of
is
that
Vancouver,
voice.
You can arrange that.
How do you know he wouldn't like that voice?
Because I'm sort of picturing a kind of hirsute biker type who is perhaps not actually skilled at massage.
That voice sounds like it's going to case the place. You know what I mean? And that was the thing all my friends said, because I went through all, anyone that owns it, or that's a, what do you call it? I wouldn't know because I don't work out. A gymnast? What do you call them?
Gym rat? A gym rat? Maybe?
A gym rat, yeah. I've asked, I even reached out and they were like, oh, I don't want to do it. It's, you know, kind of gay, like, and I'm like, okay, well, whatever. I need a massage. I'll ship you $200, like, you know, of whatever. I'm not gonna. Anyway, so long story short, I can't get a massage. It's really difficult. People said get an escort. I went online, looked at the escort. I was like, I'll pick a guy out of the catalog. Turns out it's a Sears catalog. Everyone looks ugly as hell, and you know, I don't know what I'm gonna do.
Well, you know, are you in pain?
No, I'm just a little bitch and I want a massage. Like,
well, the hell with you then. I'm not concerned.
I'm a drama queen. I need a massage. Yeah.
You know, that addiction to drama can be a vice, I think. And, you know, Andy, your point about not drinking and about not wanting to be the guy with the club soda. First of all, I find club soda disgusting. And anyone says, oh, no, you get used to it. It's like, you know, they tell you that your first night in prison too. I've found that socially, as someone who doesn't drink, people say, come on, I'll buy you a drink. I say, you know what? I'll just have a Coke, or I'll have a cranberry juice. What? I'm not good enough for you to drink with me. It's like, I'm sitting here, I'm consuming a liquid with you. Why does it need to be alcohol? But I've had people get actually offended that I won't have alcohol with them. I'll sit with them. I'll socialize with them. I will imbibe a liquid with them, but it won't be alcohol. And they'll get offended. Some of them, I get the sense that they think I'm looking down on them, which I'm not.
There were some inquisitive. Like it's a mixture of inquisitive and offended.
Some would say, why not? I said, you know, usually if my wife is there, she says, he has an allergy, or it's easier to just say allergy, an allergy to alcohol. And then they're like, oh, okay. Well, I understand well,
such
that
a
thing.
There is yeah. such a thing. The I quit drinking for a month, and I was amazed how many people tried to pressure me to have a drink. And I was like, it was disturbing how many people were trying to pressure me to have a drink all the time. Just have one. No, I'm taking a month off, you know, like, but my friends, family members pressuring me to have a drink. Shouldn't they admire the fact that I've taken a month to decide to, you know, see what it's like to not drink?
No,
to because say they, your DD.
they don't have the same self-interest or self-control to do that. So it's almost like they'd rather all of us are drinking, so nobody looks bad or looks down on anyone else. I get the sense of maybe there's some sense of guilt in them.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Yeah.
That oh, 100%.
They're drinking, so you should drink so that nobody feels guilty. But nobody should feel guilty because they're having a drink and somebody isn't. It's like when someone says to me, let's go for coffee. I say, well, I'll meet you at a coffee shop, but I'm not having coffee because I can't stand coffee. And tea, I only.
Oh, I mean, that's ridiculous, though. I mean, have a coffee. Don't be a wussy.
I don't like coffee.
I'm joking.
Yeah. I don't like the caffeine. I don't like the taste of it. I don't like the smell of it. So I have a hot chocolate, and they think, you know, what are you, 8 years old? plus, I'm lactose intolerant, so I'm taking a risk even having the hot chocolate because there's milk powder in the damn thing.
Chocolate almond milk. Great.
Filtered water only for you, buddy.
That's right. Yeah. I'll drink it with my pinky out. And speaking of gambling, we've been talking about gambling. We'd be remiss if we didn't take a moment to bow our heads at the recent passing of Kenny Rogers, perhaps the most famous gambler of them all.
He knew when to fold them.
Yep.
And when to roll them.
Yeah.
And when to hold them.
Yeah, he knew all of those things. And recently, somewhere in the darkness, the gambler, he broke even. So we sort of strayed from talking about, it's not really a stray, it's how do we define the difference between a vice and a bad habit? Because I think if we're talking about vices that I have that are traditionally listed as vices, I don't have them. But bad habits?
In moderation.
Hell yes, I have them.
Well, everything in moderation.
My vice, which, my most prominent vice that everyone talks about, cannabis, it has gone through a whole different way that it's perceived in society. I mean, in 2001, when I tried my first joint, it was a completely different world than 2020 today, where, you know, I can light up just anywhere outside. And people might join my circle and ask for a puff. But in 2001, it was a completely different world. So in 2001, it was seen as a horrible vice. Today, it's seen as, well, you got back pain? Here you go.
Oh, well, it's an essential service now.
Yeah, exactly.
we're in a pandemic, and cannabis is an essential service.
I use it continuously. I use it medicinally. I'm enjoying a canna latte right now. And I can tell you that for me, sativa cannabis in the daytime is a much better antidepressant.
I love it. I love it.
Sorry, it's a much better what?
Antidepressant. I have the most severe depression history you can imagine. And like my
I told you. Who's laughing at that?
Well, the way it was described.
I was going to joke about the Conservative Party.
That's where I was going with this, too. Like, I have all kinds of baggage. You have no idea. But depression is the one that's bad on paper because, like, it was misery. It's almost a vice that, like, it's a political problem, but you don't get anything out of it. It's just this misery in every direction. But for me, the cure for it, and I literally say it saved my life, was medicinal cannabis.
No, that's amazing because it's amazing even because, like, marijuana is a depressant, right? So it's really good that it's actually solving medical things.
But that's where the sativa indica difference is so important because, indicas will depress you. It's the difference between high and stoned. Indicas will get you stoned. The right sativa will get you what I guess is described as high, but it's more stimulated and energized and creative. So there are big differences between the types of strains that you choose.
With alcohol and cannabis. With alcohol and cannabis. They talk about it as a depressant, and that's not, it doesn't make you depressed. It depresses the sensitivity of your nervous system. Mm-hmm. So it affects your nervous system and it depresses the sensitivity of it. It reduces the sensitivity. They use the word depressant. It's not an accurate term.
Definitely. I agree.
Well, it's not a depressant in the sense of the way depressed. We see depression as a medical condition. And, you know, that stuff can have very different responses. I mean, biodiversity, some people, they're fine with it. I've got another friend who was fine with it for a while, and then one day had a massive paranoid freakout, and never tried it. Won't touch it again. And there are some people. I've got one friend. He's been my friend for forever, and he is constantly high. And I said, "Why are you?" He wasn't high at all when we were friends growing up, and then there was a several year period where we were out of touch. During which time he became a bouncer at a strip club and impregnated a dancer. And don't ever do that, by the way, as a life lesson.
Was her name Destiny?
I'm still planning on that. I had it.
I'd recommend staying. Do not father a child with a stripper. I shouldn't say that across the board. But in
strippers are amazing people. You know what? Take that back. I
worked with many people in the adult industry. Doing Ed the Sock and many exotic dancers, strippers, peelers, whatever they can call themselves that. And many of them were fine people and they were just doing it. I knew one girl who worked for us as a dancer. She was a stripper and she was actually using it to pay for a triple major in university. Like, you know, I'm working my way through school is usually the bullshit you hear. She really was. And she would quit and then go do another job and not make anywhere near enough to make ends meet and go back to stripping. So it just in this case, how about this? Don't marry a dumb gold-bricking stripper. How about that?
Okay.
But he started smoking when he was there, I guess. And I said, why do you do it? Why are you constantly high? He says, I do it for my anxiety. I said, do you realize that it can also cause anxiety?
Yeah.
It could be contributing to your anxiety.
Oh, in excess, especially.
Yeah, well, he's definitely, you know, in excess. But bad habits. We've talked about vices. Let's talk about bad habits as a separate sort of category that's related. Hafiz, bad habits that you're willing to admit to.
Paul's here. I like to occasionally drive fast. I'd say that's sometimes a bad habit, but it's usually when everyone else is driving fast. So like, you know, Highway 1, leaving Surrey, headed to Vancouver. I'm not in the far right lane. I'm in the farthest left lane possible. I don't tailgate, but I get annoyed at people that drive really slow in front
You're
of
going
me.
Rate of traffic, you're saying.
Yeah, it's highway, whatever.
Yeah.
Highway, everybody's going 120 at least.
Yeah, yeah.
They pull you over unless you're going well over 120.
I enjoy that. And you know what? In the past, when I was younger, I may have gone way above that 120 mark. But hey, you know what? That was a different
Well, you don't anymore, so that's not even a habit. Yeah. Do you have any other habits?
Bad habits. Geez. I don't know. Maybe I swear a lot. Is that a bad habit?
Yeah. I really would be the last person to
say it's bad.
I wouldn't say it's a bad habit.
Well, it depends. Where are you swearing and to whom? You know, can you control it?
Okay, I mean, I mock people on Twitter. Is that a bad habit?
That's a survival technique.
there's certain amount of trolling should be encouraged by certain people.
Depends who you're trolling. Sometimes if you're trolling the people who deserve, you know what, going Just after don't people troll who say women. Stupid things. if you're going after people who say stupid things, men or women, then I don't consider it a bad thing. You're just trying to shut down stupidity.
I just troll anyone that has an excessive emotional reaction to anything I say.
Okay, well, that's really mature. okay, let's go to Jeff. Jeff, bad habits as opposed to vices, bad habits, things you'd like to, you know, one of those things that runs through your head when it's time for New Year's resolutions.
Well, I did just recently was forced to quit cigarette smoking. So that was a big one for me where I've been smoking, not excessively, but,
But that's a vice. We've identified that as a vice. What's a bad habit?
Bad habit.
McDonald's? Well, McDonald's.
Yeah, actually, I went through a kind of a fast food thing too, where I felt like even if I would eat good meals, that it was almost like, oh, I needed that Big Mac, just quench that thirst.
So good.
Yeah, I don't know why it was the grease or something,
it's the Big Mac sauce.
Yeah,
it's the combination of the sauce, the salt, the sugar,
and the oil on that beef. Yeah,
it's expensive too, and it's super salty. And I don't know what, like, after seeing that, like, McDonald's kind of documentary, I was like, it was kind of an eye opener.
Super size me,
body.
Yeah. Well, just to give an example, bad habits. My bad habit. I know that perfectionism is a bad habit of mine that I try to move away from, but I'm often guilty of making the perfect the enemy of the good. I want things to be just exactly so. And so sometimes there's projects I should have undertaken a while ago that I haven't, because I'm not convinced yet that I have all the pieces in place to make it what I want it to be, when in fact I know that it doesn't need to be anywhere near the level I'm thinking it needs to be.
Part of that makes you successful, though.
Part of it gets in the way of your success.
Well, sure.
You get lonely.
Because you don't start.
You don't, exactly.
But once you're aware of it, you can control that. You can control that, though, once you're aware of it. You just have to, there's all these projects we do in my office, and I think, I would like to do it differently and do it better. Sometimes it comes out great. Sometimes it comes out and I'm less happy with it than I expected to be. But, we got them done. I am a perfectionist, too. I've kind of forced myself to get over that. I can't do it because it's not going to be exactly the way I want it by thinking about it.
Yeah.
But that's also made me successful, is being the perfectionist that, I have a vision for it. Right.
Yeah.
Like, and picking your battles.
Well, you don't you're not willing to settle for just whatever. And there's a balance there. I mean, may he rest in peace. He passed away last year. My grade 7 English teacher told me once, when I didn't want to hand in my day's creative writing, because I didn't think it was up to par. He said, "Steve, they can't all be your best girl." And I used that. I've used that over and over, because when you're in television, especially, and I was in it for years, and I was doing I did my own editing for the shows, because nobody else was really understood how to cut comedy properly. there were times when I was like, this show could be better if I had another day or another 2 days, but it's good for the amount of time that I had. It's a good enough product for the amount of time that I had. I could have just run a rerun, but I was like, no, put the show on, because they can't all be your best girl. And then at the same time, it's mostly in starting projects when I think I need to have all these things lined up and it needs to be a certain level. And, it psychs me out from even beginning sometimes, just because I want it to be of a certain level. And as Paul says, that can make you successful, because you don't want to turn out a shit product. At the same time, it can get in the way of your success, because you don't even start. So that's a bad habit, as far as I'm concerned. Aaron has one. Aaron?
Well, I was just thinking, you guys take this so seriously. My first bad habit is nose picking.
Yes.
Like, it's as simple as that.
We can't talk about it.
Did you eat it afterwards?
We all do it.
Well, yeah, I know, but we don't need to discuss it. And it doesn't have to be a habit.
Is it really? Okay, first of all, is your finger always up your nose?
No.
So is it really a habit?
Exactly. Like, if you've got something irritating you, you just deal with it.
But I mean, like, if you don't have a Kleenex to blow your nose, sometimes that happens. I mean, you don't want your sinus passages getting clogged by congealed mucus. So it is perhaps a health.
I have a solution to it.
What's that?
I've never revealed it to the world.
You can do it now?
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
This is a huge debut.
I'm probably the only person who does it. And I've only done it for about 6 weeks, but it was the best thing I ever did. When I'm in the shower, I actually put a little bit of soap on my fingers and I clean out my nostrils. First time I did it, it was freaky. It smelled, it was hard. I've done it since. And I'm not sneezing in the day. My nose feels great. I don't have like a collection of crap in there. And I do it now each time I'm in the shower. If I remember it, I just put a little bit of soap in. I probably go like a centimeter up into 7 millimeters up into each nostril. stand in the stream of the shower, blow some air out to clean it. While my finger's in there, my nostrils feel clean. There's no crap there. Everything's lovely. I go through the day without my nose being irritated. I don't feel like I need to touch my face.
What made you think of doing that? I'm really curious.
Because I was at the same conference that Kyla was at, where she got COVID-19. I was at the conference. I was, you know, reading all of these things as I'm in Ohio in my hotel room at the end of the day of the conference. I thought, you know what? I'm just going to have a shower. I just want to feel clean.
Now I imagine if
you tried. I thought, you know, I'm going to clean my nose. And I didn't get sick. She did. We rode in Ubers together. We flew back together. We were at the conference together. She ended up getting sick. I didn't get sick. So
you have to be a strong man.
Well, you know what?
No, I mean, I may have got sick, but like, I just thought, you know what? I'm just gonna wash my nose. I've never done it before. I'm gonna try.
You know what,
it.
Paul? It's not that strange because there are people who swear by those saline pumps.
I know.
That you pump some saline into each nostril. And there's those who claim that it helps them stay free of colds during cold season or flu or whatever. There are people, I mean, you go to Shoppers Drug Mart or whatever drugstore chain is popular where you are, you'll find 3 or 4 or 5 different saline solutions that are with a thing that's shaped to go up your nose. And you're supposed to inhale, like, you know, when you've got like a stuffed nose and you use like those medicines that you inhale and squeeze. It works similar to that. And there's people who swear by saline cleaning out the nasal passages. It gets rid of bacteria, whatever else is in there. So
what is snot?
It's with allergies.
Snot is dirty mucus, right? Just clean the dirty mucus out of your nose. And for the rest of the day, you got a nose that's free of dirty mucus.
Huh?
Well, I'm glad we didn't start talking about colon issues.
No.
Well, let's see. Jeff, we talked to you about bad habit. Aaron, the nose picking. Now, Aaron, you know what? Aaron, nose picking is not necessarily a bad habit. It's what you do with the product.
I agree. There's more meat to that one.
Oh, so
what's with bathroom stalls and people wiping it there? I don't understand that.
Oh my God, stop.
This is nobody's gonna want to listen to this podcast once we get into this.
We've
too badly.
I want to just hang up and walk away.
We've lost people already. There's 4 or 5 people listening now out of morbid fascination. That's the thing, Aaron. I think the bad habit is not so much the removal of the digital removal of mucus from your nasal passages. It's what you do with that product after, where you place it for disposal. Ugh. And making sure that you wash your hands before you shake somebody else's.
I can't promise the hand wash. I try to dispose of my waste responsibly, but I can't promise that that's always the case.
I'm not looking under the seat in your car.
That's very progressive of you.
Okay, Hafiz, bad habits.
Oh, geez. Where do I begin?
At the start.
I like fast food. I don't really... drinking is not really my thing. But
that's a vice. Again, that's a vice. You're in the wrong category.
Yeah, but heavy drinking or getting smashed. I haven't done that in a while, so that's not really my thing. I think fast food and meat and all that kind of stuff and candy and... just the whole, all that stuff. Those are my bad habits. I like to lounge out and smash a bag of chips and watch a movie.
Okay, Andy, bad habits?
You know what, while I was hearing all this, I was thinking to myself, if you want to see the difference between bad vices and bad habits, hang out with comedians. They are... and I hate to say it because I'm actually starting a comedy night at in Vancouver when all this mishigas is over. But comedians, I love them, but I also cannot stand working with them because they have some of the most fucked up habits on the planet.
Cocaine?
Yeah.
The worst bad habit of comedians, and trust me, Andy, for as long as you've been alive, I've been familiar with comedians, stand-up comics. The worst bad habit of comedians is two things. One, constantly being bitter that if someone else says something in their presence that's funny, and it isn't them that says it. And two, whenever somebody says something that's funny on stage, standing backstage and saying, that fucker stole that from me. That's, you know, and jealousy. Real bad habit. I mean, stand-up comedians are amongst the worst human beings to hang out with ever, because they're, especially in Canada, there is really no stand-up comedy circuit where you can actually earn an actual living. And so people fighting for scraps, and the level of jealousy and acrimony, and it's all covered up by bullshit camaraderie, which is a mile wide and an inch deep. And it is, you can never turn your back on a stand-up comic, especially in Canada, because they're just too hungry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what we're going to be doing differently. And just a little promo to me, I'm going to do this thing called Laughing at the Lido, and our lineup is called The Wrecking Crew, which I'm super stoked about. And yeah, we're going to do very different comedians who aren't like the hacky sort of, you know, whatever.
Anybody here having a birthday? Anybody here from out of town?
No,
Anyone started a new job? Anybody?
It's kind of like people who are like, oh, you know, Bobcat Goldthwait, you know, the whole sort of, I don't know.
Between performance art and stand-up comedy.
Yeah, like Sam Kinison is still their idol, and I'm like, okay, cool, that's great. He died. He was also a fucked up alcoholic, and, you know, you're not that funny. You're just some fat guy who's, like, screaming about alcohol and drugs and women and pussies and
you know how people get laughs in comedy clubs? If they're not funny, they just loud.
I hate that.
It's true. They just loud and they swear because it makes nervous laughter. I used to have this comedian, Freddie J. I don't know if he's still with us, but he used to be on all the cable access shows back when I was doing Ed on Cable Access. And I tried to bring him over to Sydney. It just didn't translate. But his thing was, first of all, he'd laugh at his own punchlines when no one else did. And then you'd start laughing at him laughing because he laughed like soup coming to boil. But it was like... And then his theory was that if people didn't laugh at your punchline, say it again, but louder. And if they don't laugh at that, say it again, but louder again. So, you know, one of his favorite jokes was, yeah, I had to go to the airport. Yeah, I had to see my Uncle Jack off. I had to see my Uncle Jack off. I had to see my Uncle Jack off. And by then you're laughing because of him laughing at his repeated punchline, but you're not laughing at the joke.
Hang on, I gotta write this down.
I'm laughing at your laugh. The imitation of his laugh. Do it again. It's so good.
and spit would fly. We did a I'm gonna have to put this up. I have to digitize it. It was like, I guess, his last show ever, probably. Because I know that he got sick after that, and I haven't been able to contact his family. But took a poster, like a movie poster, and wrote on the back of it all of his jokes and put it up right at the side of the stage with the names of his jokes where everyone could see it. Whoa. And it was a young audience in this little club that we had for shooting this stuff. And at first, people were like looking around at, what the hell is going on? And then his segue in between jokes was, anyway, what else is going on? And every time he went to, anyway, what else is going on, everybody broke out laughing. You know, it was so, in the end, they did get a good laugh, but it wasn't the laugh that Freddie had intended them to get. And then he would look at a punchline and say, oh wait, I started that joke wrong, let me start the other one again. Like, it was amusing because he wasn't slick. And I went to one comedy club where, back when the movie The Watchmen came out, this guy's on stage. He goes, anybody here seen that movie, The Watchmen? Seen that movie, The Watchmen? There's got a big blue guy in it. Anybody seen that? He pauses. He goes, yeah, I got nothing else on that. He just like dropped the subject and moved on. I don't know how we got to talking about bad comedy, but that is definitely a pet peeve of mine.
Yeah. Comedians are a mix of bad habits and bad vices, but, yeah, I don't know. All I can say is that I don't really have that many bad habits. I do work a lot. I love to work. I'm so appreciative to, one, be alive, to two, have people want me to do collaborate with them, and three, you know, to have the opportunity to do it. I think it's so important, like, to just fuck up and just sleep in and whatever is just a, you know, why bother? So I love my bad habits and I love my bad vices.
All right. Probably a good place to leave it. And Andy, next time I'm out in Vancouver,
we'll put you on the,
and yeah, and you got the thing going on, I'd be glad to come up and help you out
any way
I can with your comedy thing. And of course, we'll be glad to promote it on the network. As soon as you're able to do that and not do shows, you can do a stand-up comedy night where everybody's doing stand-up from their own house and there's no laughter or anything from a crowd.
I'll be a digital Mitzi Shore.
Wow, there's a reference. Mitzi Shore owns the Comedy Store in L.A. Which was the principal launching pad for most of the comedians that we would know from the 70s, 80s, 90s, and who got sitcoms.
Letterman, everyone. Yeah.
And her son, Pauly Shore.
Pauly.
Yes.
What do you think of Pauly?
He is the antichrist of comedy. I did an interview with him years ago, and he was such an asshole. That's it. Okay, so we've talked about vices. We've talked about bad habits. I'll just very quickly ask, is there a bad habit that you have in interacting with other people that you would like to do some work on?
I like to interrupt them.
What's that?
Ha ha ha.
You like to interrupt them? Hafiz? Yeah.
He did the bad habit that he said.
Okay. And I'll mute you now.
It's funny.
It's funny. Paul, any personal, you know, integration with people? What's the word I'm looking for? Fuck, I don't know.
I'm just glad you haven't asked me about bad habits or any vices.
I didn't ask you about bad habits or vices.
No, let's move on. Integration with people. No, I'm you know, perfectly.
Well, now I want to know your vices. Well,
most of the time, if I go to a party, I talk to a houseplant. So I don't run into any problems.
Okay. You should see what the plants are saying to each other. Oh, no, Paul, I want to hear. What's your vice?
I was hoping you weren't going to ask. I wasn't trying to lead into it. I drink. I like to drink. I drink coffee. I love to drink coffee. I drink, I probably have like the equivalent of 3 to 4 drinks a day. It's stretched over time. I test my blood alcohol concentration because I have all those devices, and my blood alcohol concentration is usually like exceptionally low, 15 milligrams and 100 milliliters or something like that. But I do 0.04? Like that. No, 0.15, 0.015.
Oh, wow.
So very low. We joke about it, but I'm the eliminator.
He's a Mormon.
No, if I drink a drink, like my first drink eliminates almost immediately. My body just eliminates the alcohol.
He's pure country.
Yep, I have.
In other words,
the cowboy hat goes on and he's boom.
You really do just rent drinks then. Paul, it just goes right through you.
It's just like the alcohol is eliminated very quickly in me. But that slows down after you drink enough, right? Your liver gets tired and your ability to process it and metabolize it slows down. So over a period of starting at 7 o'clock until 1 a.m, we'll have maybe 3 to 4 drinks.
It'd be worse if you were starting at 7 a.m,
No, I have no desire to drink in the day. And if I have something else to drink other than alcohol, I'll often drink like, you know, herbal tea or something like that. So, and I've been able to stop whenever I wanted to stop. If I don't have alcohol, I drink tea, but I want to have something even if I'm drinking like chicken soup in a cup.
So you just like liquid refreshments of some kind.
Basically, but I love the taste of most alcohol.
What's your favorite alcohol?
Oh, I like it all. I like it all. I love every different type of alcohol I've ever consumed.
You have a good scotch collection, don't you?
Yeah, my wife is a huge scotch snob.
People give me scotch, and so I test them all and I drink them all. Aberlour, which is like 61% alcohol, is my favorite. The really high percentage alcohol things are my favorite. I've made my own alcohol. Back in the day, I've made my first vodka when I was 13.
That was probably good for you.
Yeah.
How much of it was paint thinner?
Well, that's the thing. I didn't drink it because I had no idea, you know, when I should, which part would be good. Like the way that you make it is the first little bit that comes out of the still, you throw away. And then you get to the point where it's the good stuff coming out for a while. I like the really high percentage. Like I like 70, 80, 90% alcohol.
Holy fuck. Okay,
but Doroshenko, that's a Eastern European last name, correct?
Yeah.
Ukrainian?
There's a family history there.
Yeah,
too.
Us Eastern Europeans and the potatoes, you know, the vodka is...
ingrained in their blood.
Yeah, it's natural. It's almost natural.
My mother's side of the family were from Nashville and they left because of Prohibition and came to Canada to be able to continue to produce gin. In Jasper secretly, and my great uncle was driving his car around on vodka that he made. So
he was powering the car with vodka or powering himself?
Powering the car with vodka. He used to tell everybody, look, I'm just pouring water in the gas tank. This was in Jasper in like the 1930s, I guess, or 40, late 30s, 40s. He was one of the few people with a car, but they didn't have gas, wasn't readily available there. So he was powering it with he'd tell everybody he'd produced a car. He built a car that could run on water, but he was actually just pouring in like 85% alcohol into it.
Well, you know that you might have solved the problem for the oil patch now. Start growing potatoes.
No. Well, actually, potatoes are not very efficient when you're producing alcohol. You're much better to use grain. Potatoes don't produce enough sugar. But
Now your bad habit.
My bad habit. I think Twitter is a big distraction for me. I lose a lot of time with it. I cannot stop doing something. Like I need to be doing something all the time. On Sundays, I sometimes get depressed. I'm prone to depression.
Separated
too. I've got my methods from working and getting something done. And if I get to the end of the day and I haven't accomplished enough things, I feel shitty. And mid Sunday afternoon, I feel shitty because I haven't accomplished enough things a lot of the time.
Now, you're as bad as me. It's like if you're not allowed to have a moment of time where you can actually just do nothing.
No, I can't
feeling
do that.
Guilt. Yeah,
I can't do that. But I find Twitter. If I'm on Twitter, I mean it's a bad habit. Sometimes I'll feel bad about it that I lost an hour on Twitter, but I don't feel depressed usually.
Well, it's an engagement, and you're obviously. I see your tweets. You're usually engaging people who are ignorant with comments trying to enlighten them. And so you're not doing nothing.
Well, I do that sometimes too, but you know, I do find myself tied to the phone with that. And I feel bad. I'm telling my kids that's enough screen time. Then I walk into the kitchen around the corner and I look at my phone, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think we can all probably relate to that a little bit. Okay, so now we got your vices and your bad habits. So that's I don't know how the hell I missed you, but now we got you in. I want to thank everybody for joining us. And you'll notice that during this conversation, we did not really mention the pandemic very much because I think people are ready to start hearing entertainment and alternatives to talking about that incessantly. I know I certainly am. I think that we're COVID information out. And it's time to start producing some entertainment again that allows people to take their minds in other directions and think of other things rather than, you know, thinking that it's the end of the fucking world. So thank you guys for joining us. This has been not a topic that is specifically limited to men on mansplaining, but mansplaining is about men getting together to talk. So it doesn't always have to be about male issues. It can just be guys talking. And my suspicion is that if our sister program on the FU network, FU Politics, Hey Ladies, did a similar topic, they would probably come up with much the same things we talked about. But it was fun. And thank you guys for doing that. I think people need to be able to start having fun again and thinking about things that are just entertainment. So thank you for participating, Andy Willis. You can be found on andylandradio.com.
You bet.
And if anybody would like to go to his house and give him a massage, he's apparently not particular about who will be coming in. Aaron Seal, who is an entrepreneur and working on diligently working on his product C Fusion, which, as I understand it, allows you to make cannabis infused food. Is that correct?
Beverages. So the
beverages. Okay.
Yes. So we and also edibles. So the oils that you use to make baked products, dairy, broth, alcohol. Yeah, in a bunch of stuff that you can't buy legally. We infuse into liquids so that you don't have to pay for overpriced big pot manufactured stuff.
And is that legal?
Well, it's perfectly legal for me to manufacture the kits, and it's perfectly legal for you to use them at home. You're not allowed to sell a lot of the products that you can make at home, but that's the advantage to the kits.
So it's like almost like prostitution.
It's an end around bad government regulation.
Yeah, yeah, you can. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, you can't communicate for the purpose of prostitution, but you can actually engage a prostitute and be a prostitute.
I won't use that analogy in my marketing, but I see where you're going with that.
Aaron, where can I get this if I
want? Well, the problem is with the pandemic and my manufacturer is in China and so on and so forth. So I was 3 to 6 months away from shelf ready product when the pandemic hits. We'll see what happens. But at cfusion.ca, you can see the kit, and we'll see how fast we can get this thing on shelves.
That's right.
Get it made in Canada.
Help.
I will tell you, I tried my damnedest to find a Canadian manufacturer, and I could not find one, not even at a price point. I could not even find an option. So if anybody's listening wants to manufacture a small set of kitchen appliances, please send me an email, founder@cfusion.ca. I would love to manufacture domestically.
Yeah, I mean, this is when we were setting up the store for FU Network, we tried so hard. We delayed 3 weeks to get launching the store, trying to find a Canadian distributor that could match the prices, and we just couldn't. And so I share your pain. Paul Doroshenko, thank you very much for joining us and sharing with us, and especially your nasal regimen.
I just found out yesterday that we ordered 600 branded condoms for my office.
What year do you think this is?
Acumen Law Corporation, protecting you where you're most vulnerable. I think the idea was for the Pride Parade, and of course the Pride Parade's canceled now. So if anybody's got a real vice,
there'll be another one next year.
100 branded condoms. Well, you know, yeah, they expire in 4 years, so I guess we can hang on.
You still got them. I remember the first Ed product, Ed the Sock product made by City TV were condoms. Ed the Sock condoms and the little matchbook cover front of it said, you know, put a sock on it, and and then we had to put inside novelty purposes only, because we weren't sure that these condoms were actually they were actually condoms, but we weren't willing to vouch
legal.
I wonder if there's some kids named Ed out there that, you know,
or kids that exist because they tried Ed, you know, their parents tried Ed condoms, and if they did, then their parents were idiots and the kid likely is stupid too.
Birth certificate is an apology note from Durex.
Yeah. Hafiz Narani, thank you very much for producing this show, and you're going to be working with me and some others, I guess, in upping our game with FU Politics and FU Absolutely. Music, which is launching shortly. First I want to say thank you to Jeff Brown, Jeff, for being honest and sharing your vices and your bad habits, and also for sharing the fact that not engaging in those things you'd engaged in for years has given you a whole different perspective in some ways on how to get satisfaction out of your life. So I think that's perhaps a good message for, you know, if we're looking for the moral of the story. Like the guy Joe, sometimes vices get in the way, they make life more pleasurable, but sometimes they get in the way of actual life. And thank you for sharing that. That was valuable information.
Thank you.
Hafiz, what was I going to say? Oh, yes, I wanted to promote the fact that our sister station, FU Music, will be launching shortly. And we'll be giving a preview on FU Ooh. Politics of the first new podcast for that called Face the Music, hosted by Ed the Sock. And the show is Ed the Sock, Ben Rayner, who is the country's probably longest serving music critic, worked for the Toronto Star, for all I know, he still does, for 22 years. Crossed North America and other places, reviewed every band you can think of, and is a very cantankerous and honest lover of music. So he's on, as well as Eric Alper. And Eric Alper is a well-known music publicist and agent, and is always very happy and positive about music. So it's an interesting mix, and it's a very funny show. The first topic is, whatever happened to the notion of music that defined a generation? because I don't think it's there anymore. I don't know about the rest of you. And that's the subject. And if it's not there, is that a good thing or a bad thing? That'll be the subject of the first Face the Music, which should be going up online possibly Monday, April 27th. So that's it. And if you want to support us, patreon.com/FUNetworkTV. Some of you have started to build us back up. We lost about a quarter of our supporters because of financial hardships during this COVID thing. And I don't begrudge them one bit. The money is more important on their table than it is with us, but we do still need some money to keep going. That asshole Ezra Levant, who just promotes crazy racist shit and conspiracy theories, scares enough conservatives that he tells them he's protecting them from, you know, people like us who are moderates, you know, sensible, and he gets $1 to $2 million in donations a year. There's other sites that try to do what we do, and one of them in particular does something like $30,000 a month in Patreon alone. We're not looking for that, but we are looking to replace the people that we lost because we have equipment that needs servicing pretty badly. And if we want to move to the next level with video and stuff, we're going to need some cash to be able to make that leap. And so you can go to Patreon, spelled with an E, patreon.com/FUNetworkTV. It's a subscription. Starts at $1 a month. If you don't want to do that, if you don't want to be committed once a month, then just, but you want to help out, a one-time boost of cash infusion is much appreciated at PayPal. And you can direct that to FUNetworkTV@gmail.com. And that's it. Thank you to Paul Doroshenko, Jeffrey Brown, Aaron Seal, Hafiz Nirani, Andrew Willis. And thank you to you for listening. If you like this show, do me a favor. When you're finished, make a comment and leave a 5-star review, because there's always people who are not moderates, who are far left, far right, who want to squash what we do. So they put up shitty comments and 1-star reviews, because you can't give no star reviews. So let's not let them rain on our party. So if you've enjoyed the show, simply just go over and make a click and make a comment, please. And that's it. We'll check out the other shows on FU Politics. And we will be back again with Mensplaining in 7 days or thereabouts. I'm Stephen Kersner. Thank you for listening.
For he's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow. Let's all say all of us.
This is fun. The FU Network.